Government has proposed a draft national master plan. There are very few collections of three words that make me shiver with dread more than draft. Well, that's four words. So national master plan. I don't know whether draft national master plan is more scary than a national master plan. But anyway, they have proposed a draft national master plan, which aims to loosen regulations in the cannabis industry to promote economic development. Government wants to help create export markets for dacha growers, cannabis growers, and wants to amend legislation to remove existing constraints that hinder commercialization. We're joined now by Shad Vayej, who's an associate in the dispute resolution department at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, and somebody who's taken a lot of interest over many years in this industry. I mean that professionally, of course, Shad, not in any other way. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, John, and thanks for having me on the show.
I mean, perhaps it's so obvious that we don't need to state it, but let's state it anyway. They're not talking about developing the cannabis industry in terms of making stuff that people can smoke to get themselves relaxed or high. They're talking about cannabis in its non-intoxicating form.
Well, I think we're talking about cannabis in all its forms, really. I mean, internationally, we see this the global demand for CBD, which is, you know, non-psychoactive cannabis, skyrocketing. However, you know, in the psychoactive space, there are medicinal uses for it. And then on the other side of cannabis, there's hemp, which is, you know, there are over 50,000 recorded uses of hemp, from everything from plastics to fuels to paper to textiles. I mean, it's really quite a broad industry.
And what do you think of the plans that government is talking about?
So we're currently at version 5 of the, as you say, draft National Cannabis Master Plan. And this was made available in anticipation of a public participation process on the 30th of March. And so what this plan is a high-level intergovernmental framework that, you know, broadly highlights the various aspects that need to be addressed and implemented in the nearby future for South Africa to properly capitalize on global demand for cannabis and develop a thriving domestic cannabis economy. But it is definitely very broadly framed, and it lists 9 so-called pillars, which provide a somewhat integrated approach with various affected departments being assigned to sort of lead up each of these pillars. This plan and its pillars are an incredibly welcome development in my view, following, you know, the 2018 Concord judgment. Many of us became quite despondent after the release of the draft Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill. I'm not too sure if you're aware of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, while this is still a bill and the public participation process there is not complete, its approach to private cannabis was incredibly limiting, and almost no movement was made towards commercialization. And it sort of left me thinking that the state is going to drag its feet, it's going to do as little as possible, and that we as civil society are going to have to sort of bring a case after case to turn the legislation into legislative Swiss cheese before it, you know, collapsed under its own weight and forced the government to take action. And then, you know, came coronavirus, and I thought, okay, well, this is just going to go right at the bottom of the pile. But I must say, it's somewhat encouraging that the very first pillar in this cannabis master plan is effective regulatory systems. And here it states that the pillar focuses on developing a new regulatory framework for both hemp and marijuana, the colloquially termed marijuana, and that it is important to establish a new legal regime that must be clear to the general public, industry stakeholders, and law enforcement agencies, with enforceable rules and corresponding penalties that are proportional to the contraventions. And that includes amendment of existing legislation by removing existing constraints that are hindering commercialization. So here we see the state taking a decisive action, at least in principle, towards commercial cannabis.
Yeah, there was a very strong sense that government was kind of taken aback by the Concord judgment, and also that the Concord judgment, yes, it said Parliament must now draft the regulation, but there was no urgency about it, and the Concord judgment wasn't directive enough in suggesting which way the legislation should go when it came to the private use of cannabis. But that all according to you, now seems to be sorted out, and there's some focus and some drive coming into the process?
Well, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say all sorted out, for sure. I mean, as it currently stands, the Cannabis for Private Purposes is still a bill, and this is just a draft framework, which is very broadly termed. And, you know, admittedly, it has quite ambitious timelines. They've included an implementation schedule in this plan, which goes from 2021 to 2023. But I've heard it once said that South Africa is a river of policy and a desert of implementation. And it remains to be seen what whether some of the inevitable bureaucratic red tape and rent-seeking behavior doesn't hinder the achievement of these timelines.
And that bill, which is aimed to regulate private use of it, what's your view of it and what is in it? I mean, is it going to clear up some of the confusion that exists at the moment around private grow clubs and those things which attract every now and then the attention of law enforcement officials?
Well, I personally think that in its current form, there are certain elements which are could potentially be unconstitutional. I mean, if there are some sort of very restrictive things, like you cannot consume cannabis in the presence of a non-consenting adult. I mean, that, yes, in principle, maybe, you know, if you think about smoking a joint in front of someone who doesn't consent, but what about actually consuming it in a brownie? Are you telling me I can't, you know, in my, and these things sort of, you know, take effect much later on. So what if I had it at the start of the day? Are you prescribing what I must do with my body in my private time? You know, then there's the other thing, which is like, for instance, seeds. Seeds are listed in the bill as, cannabis cultivation materials, and it's still illegal to buy and sell them. So how do you grow cannabis in your private capacity if you don't have access to seeds or clones?
Because, I mean, that is one of the sort of most difficult to unknot wrinkles around this, because it meant that people who had plants in their back garden or on their balcony, all of a sudden those plants were legal and they could use the seeds from those plants to plant other plants, but they couldn't give it to their neighbor next door. And if you didn't have it, you couldn't buy it. I don't know whether you were allowed to scavenge it in the felt where dacha plants do grow, but it was always an issue that you're allowed to use it privately. But if you weren't an existing user, you couldn't legally become a new user.
Well, the real framework, or the real law, is that you couldn't buy and sell, but you could donate. You know, like if I and it's very interesting that you said, you know, if you had a plant that had seeds, you could use the seeds and give the seeds. But I mean, people when it comes to cultivating at least smokable cannabis, you try to cultivate just female plants which don't have seeds. But so yeah, when it comes to donating seeds, that kind of totally removes the commercial reality of growing cannabis. I mean, it is expensive if you're going to do it properly. If you're going to take, you know, when it comes to nutrients, if you're going to do it indoors, there's lights and electricity in a country where you have an ever-increasing electricity cost, plus water. So and that's where I think that this bill, or at least the first pillar of this master plan, definitely make some positive movements towards removing existing constraints that are hindering commercialization.
Shad Vayesh, thanks very, very much for talking to us, an associate in the Dispute Resolution Department at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.